All right, this is an exciting moment on the program because Bulls great BJ Armstrong is joining the show. And hey, BJ, thank you so much for calling into WGN today. How are you?
Well, thank you. I'm doing well. I can't complain. Thank you for having me. Hope you and yours are well and you guys are staying safe.
Yeah, that is the thing. That's what we're kind of worried about. How are you getting through this? Where are you getting through this? Where are you?
Well, I'm currently living in Los Angeles. So, we're just, doing our part, taking it day by day. And like everywhere, we're just trying to gather as much information as we can to learn about what we can do to play our part in helping everyone get through this.
Yeah, it is. That's the thing. We're all just trying to see, hey, let's be safe and we will get through this. And one of the ways we are getting through this, especially here in Chicago, if you saw the ratings for Last Dance, the documentary that you're part of, it brought back so many great memories, like of being a Chicago Bulls fan, of just living in Chicago at that time and the excitement. So much stands out about that. But one of the things that struck me about you and seeing you is that you have not aged one single day in 25 years. You still look the same. And I'm not kidding, BJ. You must have heard that from a lot of people. Like, wow, how does he look exactly the same and the rest of us have aged?
Well, I have to thank my parents. just the genes. I have nothing. I wish I did have some special aging formula, but just my parents. And so you got to thank my mom and dad and But thank you. Thank you very much. And, like everyone else, I'm old. I'm over 50 now, and I'm just trying to get through it. I wish I felt like that 20-year-old guy that you saw running around out there.
Carmen Electra also looks the same, and so does Dolores Jordan, I would say, too, Michael's mom. They look great, and it was cool to see them as well. So you're watching the doc series, I presume. Are you enjoying it? What strikes you about the whole thing, and what do you like?
Well, yeah, I am enjoying it because, it's kind of, you never think your life is interesting. And then you're like, wow, people think that, that what we thought was just an everyday occurrence, right? People are interested in that. It still is weird to see yourself on television, so I can't ever get used to that.
Really?
And I can't believe 30 years later that people are still saying wow about some of these stories. And as if there's some interest. So, I'm happy that, Michael, because, we all know he doesn't talk or do any interviews or anything.
Right.
He's very elusive that way, to feel that this is the right time to share, his story and kind of get some insight or kind of peek behind the curtain, if you will, about how he developed to that point where, to have that type of energy, that effort, that focus to want to achieve something of that level. So I think it's great, and I think no one else should tell it other than him. So I think it's been great, especially for the youth and people who never got a chance to see him play, to kind of see the mindset of, really a basketball genius.
Well, he is, and he's greatest of all time, and you've been asked about that a number of times, so I won't even ask that question, how it was playing with him. But I want to ask about Rodman, because you do talk about him in The Last Dance, and as crazy as he was, and in how much that doc series reminds us of how crazy he was, and just this vibrant player with just so much personality, but you also talk about not only how it would have been very difficult to win without him, but also about how his energy was so important and critical to the success of the team at that time.
It's some things, the coaches can't bring. There's something, that your teammates can't do, or any pep talk. And then, it requires effort and energy. You're responsible to bring that night in and night out. Mm-hmm. And Dennis Rodman, since I've known him, he's always played the game with this effort and energy. And he was relentless in that way, and it's kind of contagious. The game is going on. Dennis Rodman, when he was in Detroit, he would check in, and suddenly the energy would rise. So he's always had this, he's always had this perspective that was very unique that he would bring to the team and the aspect of, of any team that he played on. And that's one of the things that you can't, you can't disrespect as a player, because when a player plays with that type of energy, when they play with giving not only the first effort, the second effort, third effort, it really can could really, really change the outcome of a game. And Dennis was great at it. He understood that. And he really did a great job throughout his career of understanding what he brought to the game and how he could impact the game of basketball.
So one of the things that was covered in that in the show is his vacation, Rodman's vacation to Las Vegas, and that it went longer than the 48 hours that the Bulls were willing to give him. And I just think about players today, and you rep players now as an agent. Does anything like that happen today? I mean, that just seemed like such a unique moment in time, a unique player in a unique situation.
Well, are you referring to Dennis or?
Yeah, Dennis going to Vegas, and they had to go call him out of there, and he's hanging out with Carmen, and she's hiding somewhere, as she revealed in the doc. Remember that whole part? It just seemed like something strange.
As a player, I've been in this league associated now going over 30 years, and let's just say this: I've seen a lot, and I've seen a lot of things in my 30 years of. Being in this profession, I don't think it's anything normal. I didn't I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm just not fazed by it. I'm not fazed by anything that you hear or see in this business. And what allows you to play in the business, which I took great pride in when I was younger, is that whatever's going on outside the lines, I wanted to make sure that it never affected what was going on in between those lines. So. People are people, and wherever there are people, there are going to be situations. And the thing that stood out to me more than anything about that entire situation was the leadership that the Bulls had. They had a wide range of choices they could have sent over there to see Dennis Rodman, right? They could have sent the GM, they could have sent the assistant GM, the head coach, assistant coach. But the leadership that Michael Jordan said, no, I'm going over there, and I'm going to make sure that we get this right, and that I'm going to take responsibility and hold us all accountable, because this man here is going to affect the outcome of the results we're trying to get. So when you have impeccable leaders and leadership to that degree, it's no wonder that they win. Anyone could have gone over there to try to get Dennis, but Michael knew that if they were going to get this and get it right, I got to do this myself. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I always look at and go, that's the difference between winning and losing. And Dennis, it would have been, and not to say that they wouldn't have won if Michael didn't come over there, but certainly when Dennis saw that Michael Jordan was there, he understood the importance of what they were trying to do. So leadership is one of those key things. And look, we all have problems. The same problems that the best team in the league has, the same problems that the worst team has. The difference is, if you win, those problems go away. And that's the only difference. So Michael understood that, and that was the only thing that I was like, wow, when you have your best player, when the game still matters to your best player, the results that you get, it's not an accident. So that, to me, was the difference between them winning and losing. Anyone could have gone over there. Anyone could have handled it a number of different ways. But Michael didn't take a chance to say, you know what, we got to get this and get it right. And that is, to me, what separates Michael Jordan from all of the rest, is that he understood the importance of the situation and lived in the moment.
Yeah. Speaking of Michael Jordan, you were there for the first run, the first three-peat with the Bulls, but then you played against them. So you saw Michael Jordan as a teammate and a competitor. And those must be very different sides to be on when it comes to Jordan, all the things we know about Jordan that are revealed in the documentary. And, what a competitor he was, and the way he acted on the court, if you were on his team, was very different than if you were not on his team.
Yeah, he had this spirit about him, and he really brought that energy every single day. And I think that's the very unique thing about him. Look, we, as a professional athlete, you have your moments, you have your times, you have things, your strengths and your weaknesses. What made Michael unique is he just didn't have any weaknesses within his game. He was incredibly fundamentally sound as a basketball player on both sides of the ball, and he just happened to be an exceptional athlete. And he had the discipline and the focus to bring that level of competitive spirit or drive, or however you want to term it, every single day, and focus to the court, and that's what really set him apart. You know, it's very hard playing an 82-game schedule and practice and travel and all those things, but somehow, some way, he was able to channel that energy and channel that focus and really connect the dots, right? Some days, physically, you just don't have it. Some days, mentally, you're not there, but every day, he was able to combine the two. Physically, he brought his, you know, physicality to the game, and he brought his mental focus to the game. And that's what you get. You get a player like Michael Jordan that if you weren't able to do the same, you know, 9 times out of 10, or in this case, probably 10 times out of 10, he was going to win that game.
P. Zimmerman, jump in here. You got a question for BJ.
Hey, yeah, BJ. A big part of this last couple of episodes was the about the rivalry the Bulls had in Detroit against Detroit in those early mm-hmm. days, and they talked to Isaiah Thomas about it, and you know the moment that you guys finally conquered the Pistons and the Pistons just walked off the court, and Isaiah kind of just said that's how the Celtics did it to them. Was that the case? Did you feel that? Did you feel that was just the way things were, or did you felt this was a snub?
Well, back then when you played the game, there was always some mental warfare or things that was going on. You know, intimidation was a part of the game back then. And you were always looking for advantages, not only physically in the way you played, right? You wanted to play with a certain level of physicality that you just don't see today. That was the environment that all teams played. And the better teams were a little bit more sophisticated than the teams that weren't as good. So we were very aware of the physicality of playing in this league, especially at the championship level. No doubt about it. Was I snubbed or anything? No, because that was the environment that we were in. We at that time, we were trying to achieve something that the teams who did win, right, and one of them being the Detroit Pistons, we knew we had to raise our game physically and meet that physical challenge, which you saw in the documentary. Everyone, committed themselves to, getting as strong as they possibly could. And then mentally, that's where we had to make the biggest growth, because we had to understand all of the mental games that was being played within the course of the game. So when they walked off, that was just part of the game. I wasn't worried about what any other team was doing. I just wanted to make sure, and we wanted to make sure, if you watch as they walked off, no one reacted, right? You didn't want to react to anything that was going on, because our focus was constantly there, and we knew that they were a good team. So it was we expected to see them for years afterwards, right? This team it's not like something you beat a team and they just walk up to you and start saying, hey, congratulations, we're done. You know what? You find a way. And championship teams always play the game as if the game was 0-0. And that was the lesson to be learned. And even though you won the game, you know what? There's going to be another game tomorrow, and there's going to be another game tomorrow. So for us, it was part of it, and I wanted to make sure that, whatever was coming, we were going to be prepared for. But more importantly, we achieved what we set out to do. We accomplished our goal, but certainly, we didn't set out to just be, conference champions. We set out to be the world champions, so we had to continue to move on and maintain the same focus and determination that got us to that point. And we were able to do that, regroup, and move on. And as they say, the rest is history, as the franchise was able to go on and win 6 championships in the next 8 years.
Yeah, how about that? Just a minute here. We have B.J. Armstrong. We're so happy you called in today. But as an agent, I want to ask you how you're enjoying that. You've repped some of the biggest names in the NBA, like Derrick Rose, who grew up watching you play for the Bulls, played the same position as you. Everybody wanted him. You got him. How are you enjoying that part of the game? You've been on so many different sides of this game and seen it from so many perspectives. You liking being an agent?
Yeah, it's been fun, and it's been fun seeing the game from different perspectives. And as a player, as an ex-player, I had so many questions that I wanted to ask about this business and how this business works. And and I thought it would be a natural, fit for me is to be able to share those experiences with the next generation of young players that came up. So, to work with all of my clients, and you know, we're talking here about Derek, is to just be able to have this shared experience. As a young player, you come in, you have this dream to play in the NBA, and suddenly you realize on day one that you're in a business. And you have to learn how to be a professional. You have to learn how to understand what being a professional requires. And it's more to it than just showing up and playing basketball and being a good basketball player. You know, these young men come from different places all around the world now, because it's truly a global game. They come to these communities where most of them have never lived before, probably never visited before, and you adjust and you learn that, you know, getting traded is part of the business. You learn about all of the business aspects of the game that no one ever shares with you. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity to help these young, you know, men really transition into a job. And that's what it is. And, you know, you dream of it and you play sports because, you know, that was your dream. You love it. But certainly when you come to the professional sports, no one ever prepares you for the shock of saying, right, you know what, I get paid to do this. So it's been good, and you know, sports is fascinating, and it's even more so now that we can't play it. So you can see the impact that it has on not only the players, because I know they would love to have the opportunity to play, but you can see the bigger picture where, you know what, it would be, you know, it's like a diversion or distraction, being able to root for your team and channel this energy and all of the positive things that come from it. So, but right now we have a bigger situation with the coronavirus and that impact. And so we have to figure out not only to play, but how are we going to keep everyone safe before we can even consider about getting back playing sports.
Good talking with you, BJ. I'm so happy you called in and made time for us today in WGN. Really, really good to hear from you, and I'm glad you're well. Hope you're calling again.
Well, thank you very much. You guys stay safe, be well, and hey, you guys be good up there in Chicago. That's always been my second home, and you guys be good.
Thank you so much, BJ Armstrong, Bulls great.